I'm seeing it every day where people are needed ministering to, some of them three or four times a day. So get ready, because it's coming, and it's going to come in floods. You need to be spiritually prepared and mentally prepared, and you need to get your mind in the game, because it's here. Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion, and we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. What's that? Where what?
You lost your tooth.
You did? Where is it at? At home? Oh, okay. Well, that's your home. Well, Father, we thank you for the body of Christ. You told us how to discern the body of Christ. We're looking at him and his sacrifice. We see how his body was beaten and bruised. His sinless body was beaten and bruised for us and broken. We see the stripes in his back. And we thank you that it's by these stripes that we are healed. We see that pierced body, and we claim the redemption that shed blood claimed for, bought for us. We claim it for us in our lives in Jesus' name. We see that body being slightly burned where the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. The judgment that was meant for us, Jesus took it so that God could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over us. We ask you for your protection, and we thank you for it. It's only through the blood of Jesus that we have been redeemed. And it's through the blood of Jesus that we have been washed and justified. And it's through the blood of Jesus that we receive your provision. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we can go into your throne room and receive mercy and grace in the time of need. And we thank you for this. Are we doing children's church today? All right. See in a little bit, buddy. That's a victory. That's a huge, huge victory. That's a fruit. When we had an all Spanish speaking service here, I had a pastor that could speak Spanish that come here, and that little boy was here in diapers. So since they didn't have anybody that could take him for the service, that was my job. So I'd babysit him during the service. So I'd carry my phone around because I didn't have two Spanish words to rub together. And he didn't have two English words to rub together. I'd carry my phone around on Translate and we'd point at something and we'd figure out what it was in Spanish and English. So that was my job. Open up to John chapter 15, verse 13. This is Jesus speaking. This is where the rubber meets the road. John chapter 15, verse 13. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is going to be the deciding on a lot of people's commitment. It says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When I said all hands on deck, I wasn't kidding. Because, buddy, I tell you what, the amount of ministry calls that are happening right now is it's just too much for me. Some of them I'm doing 3 or 4 times a day. There's some of them that are out in the DMR. I'm assigning people to those. There's some that are going to be in Olympia Crossing. There's some that are all over. But look, it's too much for one man. It's going to take the body of Christ. And I'm going to have to call on people to meet these needs, to minister to these people, to be at different places at different times. This is truly a unique time in this church's history. There can't be anybody that's too inconvenienced to meet these calls. You're going to have to make a decision today what side of the fence you're going to be on. You're going to serve, or are you going to get out of the way? But if you keep trying to just sit on the fence and be in the middle of the road, you can get slivers in your butt and you ain't going to be no good to anybody. Let's start at the beginning of this chapter, and this is the relationship of believers to Christ. Verse 1 says, this is Jesus talking. He's talking to us. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Jesus is the vine. He is the source of life. Jesus is the source of absolutely everything. Our life is only there because of Him. He's the vine, we're the branches. We stay vitally connected to Him, we live. That's how we produce fruit, is staying vitally connected to Him. And God is the husbandman. Notice this. It's not the pastor's job to design Christians. It's not the teacher's job. It's not anybody else's job to design Christians. God is the husbandman. Jesus is the vine. God is the husbandman. The only thing a pastor is supposed to be doing is teach the church, edify them, build them up for the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. That means when you go out that door, you're in the mission field. And you got a job in front of you. Amen? See, I ain't any different. You know, my job doesn't stop when I leave the pulpit. When I walk through that door, I'm in the mission field. And I'm on call 24/7. It doesn't ever stop. Everybody needs to be ready for that, because I promise you there's going to be a lot. A lot. If But you're going to have to cast it over onto Jesus and just serve the people. Because if you try to do it in your mind, you're going to be wore out. You're going to give up. You're going to be frustrated. You have to rely on Him. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's an interesting thing to me, the purging part. You know, He puts a, like John said, John had to decrease so that Jesus could increase. Now I wondered about that. Now notice that the longer I'm with Christ, the more stuff just kind of slips away from me. Stuff that, you know, maybe it wasn't a bad thing. You know, there's a lot of things that are good things to do, but if you let that go, you can have a little more production in the kingdom. He'll purge things from you so that He can add other things to you. It says, now you are clean because of the word. Literally, it says through the word, but it's because of the word. Now you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. You know, that fruit He's talking about, that's not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The fruit is the love, joy, peace, gentleness, stuff like that. That's only produced through Jesus, the patience. You can't grow your own fruit. Did you know that? You know, if you want to have a crazy little experiment just to find out how incapable you are of growing your own fruit, go home and pray for patience. And then come tell me how that went for you. That's only going to happen because of your fellowship with Christ. Notice I didn't say relationship. Your fellowship with Christ. When you're in the Word, that's going to happen. Now, does that mean that you're not ever going to get in the flesh? No. No. Everybody is an earthen vessel. We have the life of Christ in us. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. But you are in these earthen vessels. That means you are attached to the flesh. You're attached to this broken creation. And as long as you're attached to this broken creation, you're going to have a tendency to get in the flesh at some point or another. I promise you, that's just the way it is. I wish I could walk around in these perfect little slippers and not ever get in the flesh, but no, I'm not quite there yet. Here's the thing that Jesus said in verse 5. Said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now the Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. But without him, you can do nothing. Maybe you can get something done in the flesh and you'll have fleshly results. But without Jesus, you can do nothing. It's always through him. It's always through him. It's the gospel of grace. Grace and truth came, and we called him Jesus. We've got to always remember that it's always in Him. Our lives are hid in Him. Any power that we operate is in Him. Any blessing that we receive is through Him. It's always through Him. Now, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse us. With Him, we can do all things, but without Him, we can't do much. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Remember, He said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Remember, we always are told to meditate on His word. Get His word in our hearts so that we can speak that word forth in faith. It's His word. When we pray His word, when we speak it forth in faith, that causes something to happen, doesn't it? It doesn't change God. It changes us, and it changes our circumstances. God is the same. He never changes. That's a good thing. We know where He stands 100% of the time. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never, ever change. But we change. The Word changes us. It's the words that we feed on. It's the words that we speak. And it's the words that we believe that change us. People like to deal in absolutes. They like life, authority, and absolutes. When I was first learning how to get sober, I had all these problems, all these challenges, all these things that were bugging me. And this lady said, here, she gave me a piece of paper, piece of notebook paper, said, I need you to write everything you need on this piece of paper. And then she grabbed it away from me and she ripped it in half. She said, you don't need that much paper. She started handing it to me again. She ripped it in half again. I thought, man, this lady has lost it. And she kept ripping that piece of paper up until she had a little tiny piece of paper like this. Said, now write your needs on there. I said, lady, that ain't even going to get started. She said, you need food, clothing, and shelter, and that's what you need. Everything else is a want. You need food, clothing, and shelter. Now, there's a funny thing about creation. The creator, when the creator creates something, he takes care of it. God has created us. And that means He has taken the responsibility to take care of us. Sometimes we run into these impossible situations, these horrible events, these things that just are insurmountable. But we have to understand that God has brought us through to here. What makes you think He can't keep bringing you through? If we look back at our life events, at all the disasters that we've been through, or all the challenges we've been through, we'll see that God has a 100% track record of taking us through life's challenges. And He hasn't changed. He's still taking care of us. And He always will. And here's the big thing now. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, he's telling us to ask. Jesus told us how to pray. He said, ask the Father in his name, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That way we can get the things that we need and things that we desire. And God gets the glory. Every time there's an answer to prayer, God gets glory. He gets the praise. He likes that. He likes us to have our prayers answered. He wants us to pray to him so that he can answer those prayers. He wants us to let him be God in our lives so that he can take care of us, so that he can protect us, so that he can guide us. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. One of the biggest things I see is people concentrating on how much they love God. You need to stop that. That's the law. Did you know that? That's the law. Jesus said you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all this. Guess what? You're going to fail. Well, how could I say that? Because that's the law. Jesus is speaking the law to the Pharisees. Get over on the other side of the cross where the Bible tells us to believe the love that God has for us. Believe the love that God has for us. When you believe, God loves you. God loves you with the same love that he loved Jesus with. The very same love that he loves Jesus with is the same love that he loves you with. When you believe that, that's when your life changes. You know, the funny thing about the Apostle John, he's the one apostle that died of old age. All the other apostles died a martyr's death. They even tried to boil John. They tried to boil him in oil. And they think it just improved his complexion. So then they sent him to the mines in Patmos. And he wrote another book. And finally, in his old age, they just brought him back. And he just kept on ministering and kept on preaching and kept on preaching and started church. He finally died of old age. Here's the thing about John. I want you to understand. When you read in the Bible, you'll see him speaking of himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He doesn't seem to spend too much time talking about how much he loved God. He spent his time talking about how much God loved him. That's where we need to be. We need to spend our time focused on how much God loves us. Focus on how much he loves you. See, God does not love you because he sent his son. He sent his son to die on the cross because he loved you. The confusing times that we're heading into right now are confusing to people that wouldn't hear or didn't want to hear or won't hear. But we're truly going into a whole new spiritual time. And we need to take as many people with us as we can possibly take. We're going to wake up one of these mornings And there is going to be so many people that need to be ministered to. So this whole body can't reach all of them in a day. There's going to be a lot of people asking a lot of questions. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be needing a lot of things. It's already happening. The pace is picking up. We need to be ready. Because it's upon us. I want you to look at verse 11. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Notice this. The world is looking for happiness. They call it happiness. They want happiness in life. They want to be happy, joyous, and free. What they don't understand is it's joy that their spirits are seeking. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Happiness is a fleeting thing. One minute you can be up, one minute you can be down. You can be happy about this, sad about this, happy here, happy there, and sad there. And then people wonder why they're crazy. Because they're chasing happiness. When they should be chasing joy, and joy is only going to come from abiding in the vine. So you can have joy in the midst of chaos. You may not be happy, but you can have joy in the midst of chaos. You can have joy in the midst of uncertainty. You can have joy in the midst of all kinds of different challenges. And the challenges are going to ramp up for a little while. There's going to be a lot of stuff happening here soon. Be ready. It's going to happen. But your joy has to be found in Jesus and not life's events. Has to be found only in Jesus. Jesus said in verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He knew this day was coming. He knew this day was coming. A lot of times people don't want to do the work or the ministry because it's not a convenient time for them. Or they have to go out of their way to do something. Or maybe it's just too far. Or I'm getting ready to watch football. Or I got lunch to fix. I got work. I got this. I'm going to tell you something. That is coming to an end. Jesus is calling all hands to get ready. Lay down your life. Put it to the side and go minister to these people. But they don't go to church where I go to. I don't care. Neither does he. Well, if they wouldn't have done what they were doing, then they wouldn't be in this position. He doesn't care. And neither should you. Our job is to reach out to these people and minister to them. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that as we go out into the world every day, that we will be ready to minister to whoever it is that you put in our path. And Father, we ask for your guidance in this. And Father, we know that it's only through you that we can be of any value. So So we thank you in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us so that we can watch out and reach out to the people that need us to be there in their hardest time. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.